The Labor Day event from Dell Technologies is here, and it's time to take productivity to another level. End the summer strong by upgrading your growing business to the latest tech. This new season begins with up to 48% off top performance laptops like Bostro, taking performance to the next level with 12th gen Intel Core processors. You'll also save big on monitors, docks, mice, and more must-have accessories. Plus, get free shipping on everything. It's the perfect time to get ahead with powerful tech designed to stay motivated throughout the year and encourage collaboration and innovation among your team. Now, at special prices for a limited time only. Summer might be gone, but it's just the beginning. What's next for you? Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to save up to 48% on our latest technology.
You talking down on us, we live it up.
How about that?
This is the Rich Eisen Show with guest host Ben Lyons.
Chris Solomon from No Laying Up joining the show right now. What is it about this year's Open Championship that has you so dialed in?
Balls are going to end up in some super weird spots. If you hit one offline, it's heading towards another group on another hole.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network reporter Jane Slater, co-host of Men in Blazers, Michael Davies. Coming up, sports host and broadcaster Madeline Burke, plus actor Kevin Connolly. And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Ben Lyons.
All right, welcome back to the show. Ben Lyons in for Rich. 20 minutes or so, we got Kevin Connolly coming in studio. I know TJ's crossed paths with Kev over the years. One of the Hollywood guys, been around for a minute, so excited to catch up with Kevin.
He was in a few months ago with when Ryan hosted.
Yeah. Oh, he came in with Ryan Leaf. Yep. Look at that, friend of the show. And he's developed somewhat of a nice golf game. You know, had so many hockey swings in his
he's nice
in his
golf.
In his game. But now he's starting to put it together around the green. Somebody else who I hear has a tremendous golf game. But I have not yet seen it myself. I've only heard rumblings around New York City sports media circles that this woman hits bombs off the tee. She makes putts. She's deadly around the green. And she's kind enough to join us right now on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. It's Madeline Burke, who covers the New York Giants. How's the golf game, Madeline? I'm hearing great things.
I am so glad that my rumor mill is working because it sounds a lot better than it is. But you know what? I love getting out there on the course. And we got to get out and play as long as... you're good with me chasing some balls out of some weird position.
Well, listen, I got into the place in my golf game where I get excited if I hit one in the woods because that means I can go find three. And that's like I've gone shopping and I've saved money. So I've turned into that golfer.
Honestly, I've donated a lot of balls to the courses over the last couple of months. it's just really doing my altruistic duty out here.
Yes, you're always someone to give back, Madeline, for sure. exactly. We are about to head into another football season. The New York Football Giants is the team you cover on a day-to-day. Walk me through the state of the Giants heading into this season.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of changes, right? I think that's been the storyline. New head coach, new general manager, really shaking things up and trying to kind of get better and bounce back from that 4-win season that we saw last year. Giants are not an organization that's used to not succeeding, right? I mean, they've got four Lombardis in the case, and when you walk into the building, they've got a lot of success. A lot of great players have come through that organization. So I think the struggles of the last 5-6 years has been a little bit unsettling for people who have been around the organization for a while, but there's a lot of optimism at this time of year when you have, you know, clean slate. Of course, everyone in the league is starting fresh at 0-0 record, and anything is possible. But I think for the Giants specifically, you know, bringing in a guy like Brian Daboll, who has been in this league, who's been in football for 22 years, has been an offensive coordinator, is really well respected, and kind of has the reaction with guys who have been playing for him, you know, in previous appearances have said, you know, a lot of times when you see a guy who's a first-time head coach, he comes in and he kind of changes a little bit. He tries to emulate what a head coach should be. But Brian Daboll, who is like affectionately known as Dabes, John Feliciano, for example, said, you know, Dabes is just more Dabes. He's just more of himself. He's very authentic. And I think that players are respecting that and are reacting positively to that. And, of course, it's only July. We've only seen some, you know, OTAs and some mini camp. But with training camp just 2 weeks away, I'm excited to see what his imprint on this team is going to be.
Madeline Burke joining the show, friend of the show, Ben Lyons in for Rich. This is the Rich Eisen Show. What is this, year four for Danny Dimes? He's on the clock.
Yeah. I mean, year four, this is his third head coach. And You know, it's tough for a quarterback like Daniel Jones, right? I mean, usually you come into the league and as a rookie, you know, your second year, you kind of get more familiar. So things move faster, right? The more familiar you are with something, the quicker it moves, the quicker you understand it. But for Daniel, there have been a couple of hiccups, right? I mean, of course, changing systems several times between different head coaches, different offensive coordinators, all of that. Also, the people around him, there's been no consistency. You know, the offensive line has been a revolving door for the last couple of years due to injury or, you know, not playing to the level that has been expected. The wide receivers have been injured. The skill players have been in and out of the lineups, and that's been tough. You know, when you are doing a job, especially the National Football League, a lot of it is timing and rhythm and understanding that the people around you are going to be doing their job the way you expect. And if you're getting used to one receiver in the X running at a certain speed and another one is in there and it's like, who's playing in that spot now? And, you know, with your offensive line blocking in different ways and figuring it all out, it's just been hard. There's been no consistency. So it's been hard for Daniel Jones to find that kind of equal playing field or what have you to develop, if you would. Like, and I think the more consistency they can give him, the better opportunity there will be to see what kind of a player he actually is.
Madeline Burke joining the show, New York Giants host and reporter, friend of the show. Ben Lyons in for Rich, the Rich Eisen Show. In addition to covering the Giants, in addition to being a big Giants fan, I know you've got a passion for all sports. I know you have an affinity for golf, like we discussed, but you and I were out at the Yankee game the other day on set of Lord of the Flies. Because you're a woman, you do not have to take your shirt off. I'm a man. I was forced to take my shirt off. It was terrifying. Can you please back me up on this, that it was very Woodstock 99 vibes out at the bleachers at Yankee Stadium?
Yankee Stadium are a completely different environment. I feel like the baseball game that is happening is more background noise in the bleachers. Like, you know, you see the outfielders out there turning around. Why is everyone cheering? Nothing's happening. Oh, they're cheering because another guy took his shirt off. And we're sitting out there, and there was probably a group of five or six guys that were, you know, it's a hot day, of course, summer in the Bronx, and they're taking their shirts off. And then they just start cherry-picking guys and saying, okay, you have to take your shirt off. And everyone in the section is chanting to these men until they take their shirt off. And then, of course, you were happily obliging. All right, let me lean in and join the fun as well. But it was chaotic and a blast. And, you know, $17 ticket, money well spent.
Yeah, absolutely. A fun Saturday to sweat it out in the Bronx. But it got us talking about the greatest games we've been to as fans. I know you've gone to so many games as a reporter with a credential, but you're also somebody who likes to live the real fan life. So looking back at your sports career and resume as a fan, what's the greatest game you've ever been to?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's a few. I think when I was a kid, my dad brought me to a Lakers-Bulls game in the early 90s, but I was about like 5 years old. So it's like you've got Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson on the court, but I was like so preoccupied with the guy walking by with the "who wants a Snickers?" And I was like, I do, that I didn't really have a full understanding of where I was. And then, of course, later in life, like I remember, gosh, like the 2015 Rose Bowl, I think is one that sticks out too, because going into that, you've got Jameis Winston and you've got Marcus Mariota. And going into that game, you would think that these two players are going to become what Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are now in the NFL. And of course, their careers didn't quite pan out that way, as many college football quarterbacks don't really translate in the way that we expect them to. But that was just a really fun game and a matchup of two highly anticipated quarterbacks. And of course, the Ducks ended up just crushing Florida State. But yeah, there have been a lot. I feel like, and there's just a lot of memorable games I've gotten to work as well. It's just why we get into this field, right? This is such a cool space to be in. We just sit and talk sports and go to sports games and events, and I don't know. There's a lot.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next, is that you cover all sports. I first crossed paths with you when you were doing stuff for the Clippers and now doing stuff for the Giants. You were even doing some post game on NHL hockey, which I'm like, I don't know how she does that, but good for you, Madeline. Far more talented than I am. What is it about covering sports at this stage in your life and your career that really inspires you and you enjoy?
I think it's just one of those things I've always loved, right? I think growing up, it was my way of bonding with my dad, and it wasn't until later life that I realized, oh, this is something I actually like myself, not just a way that I can spend time with my dad. And it's just something, too, that you get to do something different every day, right? It's not the monotony of the same old song and dance, and no disrespect to anyone who has that. It's more of just, for me, I love the variety, and I love the challenge, too. Like you mentioned, hockey is something that I'm not you know, I didn't grow up around hockey, but I think when you have the access to the information and you prepare and you study and you learn, there's just so much to learn about as well. And there are some sports that I've been a fan of for my whole life, and there are some sports, like, as Michael Davies calls it, sucker, that, you know, I've gotten to learn later in life. And it's just a cool and a welcome challenge.
Madeline Burke joining the show, New York Giants host and reporter, covering the team for MSG. Now, I want to get back to the football Giants, because yesterday, Madeline, we did our top 10 running backs heading into the season list, and I put Saquon on that list. I still believe in the guy. What are you hearing about Saquon Barkley heading into the year?
Well, I think Saquon's got a lot to prove, and I think he knows that, and I think he feels that. And I remember earlier in OTAs, it was almost as though he had this chip on his shoulder when people were asking him how he's feeling or all that. And I know he's sick of being injured. I know he's sick of being asked about the injury. And it's, you know, it's a combination of things, right? He comes back from an 11-month recovery from that ACL, only to have a freak accident landing on another player's foot and roll his ankle and have a really bad ankle sprain. And there's not really much you can do about that. It's not like, oh, if you train better, if you prepare your body better. This man takes care of his body extremely well. That being said, I know that he is eager to get back out on the field. This is a guy who does not like to not be available. And, you know, he understands availability is the best ability. And talking to him earlier in this offseason program, you know, one of the things that he really lights up in talking about is, as Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka are starting to install this offense, the way that they're using him, the way they're moving him around the field, he said, I haven't moved around this much since college. And he said he actually went back and watched some of his old Penn State tape to kind of remember what that felt like, what that looked like, what he played like in that kind of a system. And I asked him, well, what is it like, you know, going back to watch that tape now that so much has changed, so much has happened in your life, in your career since those days, what do you see now looking at that young college player? He said, you know what, I was a lot more confident and a lot more comfortable at that time. And he said, you know, dealing with these injuries, as I'm sure you know, like when you go through an injury like that, you come back and whether or not your body feels 100%, you're still a little bit mentally like hesitant. You don't want it to happen again. You've been out for almost a year. You want to make sure to protect it. But he said too, I'm finally starting to feel confident and trust my body again. I'm starting to feel comfortable again. And that is allowing him to play more free. And that combined with the way that they are being creative and using him in this offense, he's really excited, and you can see him light up in talking about it.
I appreciate the insights on Saquon. He's one of my favorite players in the league, and I hope he gets a chance to get back on the field healthy and perform at a high level. Madeline Burke joining the show. Ben Lyons in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. You guys, there is nobody in my life that loves a good pun like Madeline Burke. Like, if you follow her on Instagram, she'll put up a photo, a beautiful photo. She's in orange pants and says, "Orange, you're glad to see me." You know, it's just stuff like, she loves the puns. Where does the love of puns come from? What is the art and the science behind your puns? Because you're a very punny lady.
I think people like to call me Big Pun. No,
back in the back of the back of the act.
I can't not. Like, I really can't not. There are times, Ben, you've been there, where I'm just like, I'm sorry. It just happens. But I think it's a lot of it too is just my self-deprecating nature, right? I can't post like a photo where I'm like, oh, look how good I look. I'm like, all right, let me just balance it out with some like total nerdy personality, which is more on brand for me.
There is nobody better in the business at Instagram caption puns than Madeline Burke.
And Ben, you know, Madeline and I don't know each other, but I started following her on Twitter years ago, and she actually followed me back even though we've never met. She was working with the Clippers, and so I was a really big fan of what she was doing with the Clippers, and that was around like the 2014 season, right, Madeline, when you were working with them, if I'm not mistaken?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember that, yeah.
That was a big time for the Clippers Lob City days. And yeah, I just want to say you did a great job covering that team.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I mean, yeah, it was such a cool experience too, to watch. I mean, I started there 2010. It was Blake Griffin's rookie season. And even though he won Rookie of the Year, won the dunk contest, he as a human had some incredible highlights. The team was what, like a 27-win team and bottom of the barrel in the NBA, and then they go from that to a perennial playoff team, and just the arc of watching a team go through that transformation and what that takes was really cool. And it was, I just felt really lucky to be able to be a part of that and be kind of on the inside of watching that all unfold.
Well, it's been great to watch your career unfold from covering the Clippers to now covering the Giants in New York. The future is bright, Madeline. I can't wait to see you back in the city. Let's get on the golf course in August. Not just say that on television, but like actually do it.
Immediately, if not sooner, book a tea time. I'm there.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. Madeline Burke joining the show. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Madeline.
Thanks for having me.
Madeline Burke. Big pun. I think that nickname's going to stick.
Stuck in the middle of Little Italy.
MB. I love her. She's the best. We had so much fun in New York. You know, she's covering the Giants now. And like I said, doing hockey and has basketball knowledge from covering the Clippers. We went to the Liberty game the other night.
Okay.
So yeah, she's a legend. We're happy to have her on the show. We got another friend of Ben coming in studio. Did Kevin Connolly get out of bed on time and make it down here? He's a pro. He's been doing show business stuff forever. He's a pro. He's here. He's in studio. He's coming in next. Ben Lyons in for Rich. Kevin Connolly in studio on the Rich Eisen Show. Every golf equipment company claims to be longer off the tee. Yep. But Callaway's new Rogue ST driver is the only one built to completely bomb it. It's been speed tuned. I never even heard of this before. Have you heard of this before? Speed tuning? Speed tuned to Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge, which gives you more speed on off-center hits and provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. That's just the beginning, because Callaway has engineered a Rogue ST for every player. Most golfers, guys like Kevin, will fit into the Max because of its incredible combination of distance and forgiveness. But there's also Max D, their dedicated draw model for players who need more shot shape correction. Now, if you need something more, I don't know, low spin, there's Max LS, which gives you stronger trajectory and a more natural, neutral ball flight. But for the true players out there, the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS is the compact, low-spin head that the tour players love. Callaway has thought through every aspect of speed, so all you have to do is go to Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. Kevin Connolly in studio next. Ben Lyons in for Rich, the Rich Eisen Show.
Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
For our radio audience just joining us, Kevin Connolly in studio, Ben Lyons in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. The fact that right now we're making a television show, a radio show, a podcast, YouTube content, social content.
Everything all in one shot.
It's ridiculous.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah. Now you're part of that, though, producing podcasts and doing Action Park Media.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, we've talked a little bit about this. Best thing about podcasting, it's a great way to develop IP. Right. And content that you can, it's hard to compete with these big, you know, studios and all these other, you know, entities.
I feel like that's the part of the business that audiences home don't get to see, is that when you get your hopes up for something that you want to do or you think it's real. Remember, there was a time you were going to play a character loosely based on Matthew Berry.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I mean, stuff you think that's going to come together and it doesn't.
Yeah, you do a pilot, you have no idea, you know, you think, oh, this is great, and it doesn't go. And then there's pilots where you're like, all right, well, you know, got a little money to live on for the year, and then that one ends up taking off, and it's a crapshoot. But I wouldn't recommend that. Certainly wouldn't recommend the business to anybody.
No. There was a moment probably like 6 months ago, I think we were on the golf course or something, and I was just down and out. I was like, I think I'm going to go sell insurance or be a real estate agent. And you reminded me that it's a career and you got to stay in the game and you got to bet on yourself. And when you think back to the highs, obviously, sure, that's what you love. But think back to your own career. And when did you have sort of a moment where you thought, you know what? Maybe I'll go try and be work in the front office for the Islanders. And this actor thing isn't gonna happen.
There's always, you always want to have like a couple irons in the fire, right? Where it's like you feel like there's this job coming down the pipe or whatever. And then, but there's been a few times, and I'm lucky that it's only been a few times where you would wake up and go like, wow, like right now there's just nothing there, right? And those are the times, you know, that you have to just like buckle in and, you know, go out and make it happen, basically.
You go out there and direct, and you've done a ton of directing over the years and all these things.
I've made every kind of, I've directed TV shows, movies, documentaries, you know, so I just like to stay busy.
But you've done something that I've never done that I think is the coolest thing that any of my friends in Hollywood have ever done. I really mean that. Kevin went on stage at the NHL draft and introduced a draft pick for the Islanders.
Yeah, with Brock Nelson. Scored 37 goals last year.
How great is that?
Yeah, that was a pretty wild experience too. The draft was at the Staples Center. So I got invited to the table, you know. So even that alone just was sitting there, you know, with all the GMs watching the madness that goes on. And the 30th pick came up and they were like, "Hey, you want to go up and make the pick?" And I was like, "Are you serious?" They were like, "Yeah, go for it." So it was fun. Yeah. By the way, major check bucket list.
Yeah,
it was really cool. They're like, "You know what to say?" I'm like, "Yeah, I know exactly what to say."
Well, it's great that you've turned your career into now an excuse to be like an even bigger Islander fan, like to go on the stage, to drop the puck at center ice.
Yeah, it was also a little backlash.
Yeah, look at this guy up there.
Right? Like my Islander pin. I look like I belong up there.
That's amazing.
Kind of.
Look at the assistant general manager. Right?
You look so young
like,
in that picture.
This guy's like revolutionized data and analytics in hockey.
You know, I did take a lot. There was a little heat from the hockey purists that didn't, you know. Only the Islanders.
There's no bigger hockey fan I know than this guy right here. You directed a movie about them.
I did.
Like, come on, your credentials yes. for being an Islanders guy.
You could argue that I earned it. It was here at the Staples. So
yeah, we just had Michael Davies on. He was talking about how Men in Blazers started. He was at a wedding and he was trying to watch the World Cup final and he found another guy at the wedding and they were the ones there trying to do it. Now they're podcast partners.
Right.
Have you had weird situations where you've been out in your life, in Hollywood, whatever, and you're trying to watch the hockey game? And that's a tough one to get everybody in the bar to turn on the hockey game.
Yeah, well, luckily for me, I owned the bar, right? So I was...
Funkmaster Flex, drop a bomb on him.
Where are you in that position? But I did. Come on, Ben.
So good.
Ben and I were early. That's one of the great things. I know it's not for everybody, but... I like early football starts.
Oh, yeah.
Waking up on a Sunday morning, 9:30.
There's no better way to get over a hangover than to walk into the bar was called Goal, and you order the eggs and a pint, and there's Kevin in the corner sipping on a Riesling, watching the Miami Dolphins at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Guy loves pairing like a chilled Sauvignon Blanc.
Ben would be all
with
over
Ryan
me.
Tannehill,
What year is that?
Yeah,
I was a Cabernet guy. I would start, but that was my... Yeah, I would like to have a...
No, but watching hockey games in weird places at weird times. Like, I was just overseas in Israel for your buddy's wedding, Danny's wedding, which was amazing. And I'm watching, you know, Warriors games at 3 a.m.
I know, that's a hard thing to wrap your head around. I can remember I was in Cambodia, and I watched a Mets World Series game at a bar in Cambodia. I'm like, this guy's never going to be able to find this. But I was like, hey, man, do you think? And boom, boom, sure enough, there it was. So I watched the World Series game at a bar.
Now, that's a great game you watched. We've been talking all day on the show about great games you've attended simply as a fan. I remember going to a Yankees-Red Sox game with my dad sitting in the booth and looking down and being like, I think that's Kevin sitting behind home plate.
Yeah, I've had a couple.
You've had some great seats, but not just the seats, but the whole game, the experience, greatest game you've ever been to.
I was in San Diego for the 98 when the Yankees clinched. And we were like on the rail. I was, you know, from here to the camera from, you know, Tino, like with his foot on the bag. We were right there. So as a Yankee fan, that was phenomenal. I was also at the Game 7 Staples Center when they were down against the Blazers. They made that 16-point
play. They
made
the alley-oop
play.
Nice.
I got a jaywalking ticket walking into the Staples Center that day. That's also the other thing that I remember about that. Which is very strange. But the best story is, and this is going to make me sound
terrible.
Gotta
wait for the light at Chickern Drive. Wait for the light at Chickern Drive.
The cop stopped all of us, and he said, one of you has to go down. And I was like, of course they weren't my tickets. So I was like, guys, I'll take the bullet. I'll be in a few minutes. Let's go.
Good to know when the cops show up and they say, who gets the jaywalking ticket?
I got one of those in Santa Monica. And they're not cheap either.
$300?
Yeah.
I would not have agreed to take in the bullet if I would have known, like, or I would have insisted that we whack it up.
Yeah.
$300.
Oh, no joke.
He stopped a bunch of us.
Or something.
Wow. He stopped six of us and gave me the ticket.
$300 for a jaywalking ticket.
Something crazy. Like that. I'm not crazy, right?
Yeah, you're right.
That's about 80 or 90 times higher than the Entourage residuals checks I get once every 2 years for playing myself in the Great Gatsby episode.
Well,
I get a check for about $3
terrible story. And Ben, you'll appreciate this, but it's also going to make me sound like kind of a jerk, but it is.
Somebody tells me your residual checks are not $3? No.
No, so... buddy of mine calls me one day, and so there's a one of my favorite movies, Bridge on the River Kwai.
Oh, great. My grandfather blew up the bridge. He was the one who on set in the side
actually blew up the bridge. Yes. Okay, so I was a huge fan of, by the way, random. That's a big part of the movie.
I've known you 20. Come on, this is new to
you. I didn't know you were related to the guy that actually blew the bridge.
That's a bigger flex than, I own the bar.
That's a bigger flex, far bigger flex than I own.
My grandfather blew up the bridge for Bridge on the River. Wow. But continue on your little story here.
That's amazing. So, because I was always a huge fan of the movie, young Obi-Wan Kenobi, Alec Guinness, just in top of his game. And it's playing at the New Beverly Cinema. Now, this is a three-hour movie that I've seen probably 20 times, and I'm like, no, I want to see the print. I want to go see it on the big screen. Buddy of mine calls and says, hey, I got floor seats to the Laker game tonight. You want to go? And I was like, who are they playing? Playing the Raptors. I was like, you know what, man? I've been dying to see Bridge on the River Kwai on the big screen. I'm just gonna go see the movie, right?
We know where this is.
Sitting there watching the movie. It's 87 hours long, and my phone. And this is before you couldn't do the side text. My phone is ringing. And at a certain point, I'm like, something's wrong. Then I'm like, something happened, right? So I step out and I call my friend. I'm like, you all right? Is everything all right? He's like, Kobe just dropped 81.
I knew where it was going. I knew right where this was going.
Bridge on the River Kwai. Yeah. Seen it 700. Seen it 700 times. And I missed the 81-point game.
On the floor.
And then you got a deal with getting a phone call from Lucas Haas being we were at the game, bro.
It was a religious experience. That was the tagline. I said, they said it was a religious experience. And I'm like, okay, well, listen, you got to see this new 35mm print of Bridge on the River Kwai. Because
it's going to change your life.
That Kobe game will be around forever. But that print, it's touring around the country.
If we were friends, I would remind you of that every
day. You were whistling when you left the movie.
Oh, man.
Every day.
How terrible.
That's an all-time.
Look at him. He's traumatized.
I can't get over this.
That's worse than an actor not getting a part in a role or something.
I was going to say, or you pass on something and then it becomes I didn't want to be Han Solo.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The worst thing about it is that there's just a snobby thing to do that it was the Raptors, right?
Right.
Who are they playing? What's gonna
happen? Thanks. I want to go see Alec Guinness. Oh, man.
That's so
I try not to think about that one too much. That one just got away.
That's incredible.
And as great as the alley-oop was, I think I would have rather been there for the 81-point game.
Oh, gosh. That's tremendous.
Wow.
You guys would get great seats when you would accept them during the Entourage days. You would have amazing seats.
Yeah, well, we would shoot there.
Shoot during the games and stuff like that.
So, and the Kings, too. I'm a big hockey guy everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you stay in touch with the guys? I know you and Jerry, obviously, very close. But
Jerry and I talk all the time. Trying to get Jerry on a podcast. It's like
trying to get him out of that basement he built is tough.
He's got a podcast studio. It feels like this. I mean, obviously this place is amazing, but Jerry's got a whole setup trying to get him in the game, but we'll see. We haven't come.
He's got a starting backcourt now. He's there. It's 2-on-2 there in the household. So.
Right. And Jerry's running it. That's it. There's a lot going on, and I have a baby now, so I understand it a little bit.
Haven't seen you on the golf course for a while. I think that's why.
It definitely complicates the golf. It definitely complicates the golf.
What's been the thing about fatherhood you think that surprised you the most? For an E-News question for our good old days, Kevin.
You know what? The people say, it really changes your perspective on things. And of course it does, right? I always thought that was more of a cliche, but it truly does. I don't know. When I go to the park, I see the park differently. You know what I mean? When you're at a park with the kids, you're looking at, you're like, hey, do you have a kid here? You're looking at people where's your kid? Do you have a kid?
Why are you just at the park, dude?
Who's anybody see this guy? If this guy doesn't deliver a kid from somewhere in the next couple minutes, you got to run him out of town, right? And then you look at this guy oh my God, this kid's going to be in big. How long before this kid's in trouble? You know what I mean? So it's that is when they say it changes your perspective. It does, because I never really thought about the park.
Right,
I don't know. You
right,
go
right,
to the park.
Right.
I don't know,
everyday
the
stuff.
Swings.
Yeah,
exactly.
My son is 2.5. I cry at the end of Cars 3.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Why am I doing that? Oh, because I'm watching with my son and Cruz wins the race and I'm just losing it. It's ridiculous.
Do you know that I've never seen one of those movies, like any of it. I think I saw Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Your little
because,
ones. Yeah, your little ones really little. So
right, well, when she gets in, it'll be first run screenings for both of us.
What's the first piece of cinema that you've made that you want to sit her down with and be like, this is what dad does, and you like show her?
Not Entourage.
You're not showing Entourage.
By the way, probably Angus. Probably Angus, followed by The Notebook. And then outside of that, she's going to have to wait. She's going to have to grow up a little bit. Maybe even The Notebook's a little too racy.
Oh, that's good stuff. Kevin Connolly joining the show for our radio audience listening. Ben Lyons in for Rich Eisen on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about my Rangers, shall we, Kevin? Talk a little hockey. To see the Rangers go on this run and just really capture the collective energy of New York City and get all the hockey fans in this tri-state area.
The host is taunting.
To get excited about the Rangers. What is the Rangers relationship like with you in your life?
You know, it's funny. Like, I could do without it. You know, I could do without the Rangers winning the cup, honestly, but I don't necessarily know that I ruin. Truthfully, with the Tavares of it, I'm more anti-Maple Leafs than I am the Rangers. But you know, I the Rangers. Listen, man, it's a big market. It's easy to get guys there. You know, so they have no excuse, right? They just don't. They have all the money in the world. Yeah, so they should be competing like that every year.
They should be in the conference finals every year.
Right. Well, the Islanders were in conference finals back-to-back years
What is the state of hockey like? You know, I'm not a big hockey guy. I like going to the games, but I don't follow it on a day-to-day.
You're almost anti-hockey, or just with me.
A little bit with you. I say it's a little Game of Thrones, too many guys with beards who I don't know who they are. And it's like, you know, guys with too many consonants in their name. Like, I get it. But it's a lot of fun to go to. Right. I never played it. I think that's the reason I don't have a connection to it.
Right.
But I know how much you genuinely love the sport.
Yeah, I really do. Yeah. I love the sport. I mean, obviously, I'm a diehard Islander fan, but I've had season tickets for the Kings, right? I just like to go and watch hockey. And it's for sure the best sport to watch live. I mean, you're right there.
Yeah, there's an energy in the building when you're at a Ranger game that's different than a Knicks game. Yeah, it's full of hope, and joy, and good times and smiles. And
It's fun too. And the Kings are sneaky good, and they're gonna be good for the next few years to come. And so are the Islanders. So the hockey's good.
What's happening with the Victory Podcast? What are you and Doug doing? You guys are knocking these things out.
Yeah, man. We do Action Park. We have about probably 11 or 12. You know, podcasts going. You know, we're banging them out, trying to just build a company, which is very difficult. You know, I guess right. Like, well, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it. Or it's supposed to be hard. All those things. But I think as an actor, Ethan Suplee, actor buddy of mine, and I were talking about this. I just am on calls, like doing things that I'm not accustomed to doing. Right. So, because as an actor, part of your growth is stunted that way, right? So I get on the phone when I'm immediately offended by everything that everybody says. I'm like, what? Am I crazy or is that guy being a jerk? They're like, no, Kevin, this is like...
This is how adults do business, Kevin.
He's a lawyer.
Wait in your trailer and we'll call you when we're shooting the podcast.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, it's been an adjustment to be on these calls that as an actor, you're just kind of shielded from. And then when you call and say, hey, I'll have the call. Go, oh, it's great. Don't worry about it.
Look at this, Kevin. Real job, child. It's like you're in a full
functioning adult.
Adult now.
I'm an adult.
Yes, congratulations. You finally did it, man.
It took 48 years. Finally and here I am.
Kevin Connolly hanging out here on The Rich Eisen Show. You're welcome to leave. We'd love to have you stay around for another segment here.
Well, yeah, I'm around. Let's talk about segment. I want to talk about who these guys that hang out. Do they know they're on camera?
There are people walking in the background.
I'm going to show up one day next time you're here. I'm just going to be standing back there.
This is a daily thing.
Daily
like
thing,
yesterday,
Kevin.
There was three ladders and just guys kind of walking and standing around the ladders.
Like I totally expected Jeff Hardy to show up. There were so many ladders out there. Like I thought he was going to jump off of one.
I don't think they know, right?
They have no idea.
They have no clue. They can't, because we usually would have the blinds up, but they've been down for the last 2 years.
Next week when Rich is back, you're going to look behind and say, is that Kevin Connolly rolling calls?
After I leave, you're going to see me back there while you're still going. While you're doing your wrap-up, I'll be back there.
All right, celebrity birthdays. When we come back, Kevin Connolly in studio, Ben Lyons in for Rich. It's The Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the show. Final segment of the day. Ben Lyons in studio here with Kevin Connolly, who is one of my oldest friends here in Hollywood. way back from the Entourage days, and you did a horse racing movie. I did an interview with you for
Secretariat.
That's
right. Horse racing movie. Only the greatest horse of all time.
What are you talking about,
horse
Ben?
Horse racing movie? I don't remember. I've known him for a long time. It all blurs. I remember we did a junket once. I interviewed you with like Ben Affleck in some movie or something.
I saw a movie with a basketball player once. I think his name was Jordan. Like maybe. I don't know.
Could he fly?
Wow.
You know, I've known the guy for a long time, and it's kind enough for him to come in studio.
Secretariat.
So
yeah, Secretariat, that's right, with the Secretary Junket. And he's just not that into you, Junket.
Yes, he's just
I remember
not
you
into
trying
junk.
To pep me up. You were like, come on, man, because I was a little... Not that I was intimidated, but it's like it's
you and Bradley
Affleck
Cooper.
And Bradley Cooper. I would just sat there.
Get in there
like,
with the jokes, Connelly.
Yeah, I had
Let's
no
go.
Jokes. I just sat there. I was like having an anxiety attack.
Cover the premiere of Goodnight in the Garden of Eden. Come on, like the Tribeca. Yeah. Like, what's up?
Yeah, no, I. But that one was that was a. He's just not that into you, Junket. Was
yeah.
Because, you know, Bradley Cooper wasn't a star yet, but it was like it was happening. Like, it was inevitable.
And there's certain actors on Junket Day, I've learned, that they're a little nervous because it's not what they do. They act. They don't sit in a room and answer questions. There are other actors, Junket Day, it's a day to act. Like, well, let's go.
Right.
You know, so big shout out to Justin Long. Always great to see you.
Yeah, by the way, he was. He's great.
Loves Junket Day.
The thing about the Junkets, too, it's like depending on whatever it is, like when on the Entourage Junket, you sit and 50 different people ask, who's in your real life Entourage? If you had to have an entourage of dead people, living or whatever, and then he's just not that into you. Like, have you ever broken up with a girl on text message? Like, it's all related to, they're just the same questions, and it's like 3 days.
What's Scarlett Johansson's like in real life?
Asking, answering the same
questions.
So is
there an entourage reboot? Are we going to see the guys get together again?
Will the guys return? Yeah,
no, but like I'm asking you right now. Are you
actually going to get together? If they reboot everything, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean... I don't think anybody would be interested in doing like the watered down version of it, if that makes any sense.
I don't think there is watered down Entourage. Right. There's a pool party happening right now in Los Angeles. Isn't that true?
It's true, yeah.
I thought that was true, right? There's a pool party happening right
also,
now.
Also, like, prequels are a thing. So let's do an Entourage prequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't see you managing the Sabaros and what are
like
you doing
at the
here,
pizza
man?
Shop. Like, let's go.
Oh, man.
I don't want to give my role away. Can they do that thing they did in The Irishman with De Niro and make me look like I'm 20?
Let Josh Hutcherson stay at home. We can, like, CGI Kevin Connolly's face.
Just shave your beard and we can watch you learn. We can watch E learn how to make garlic knots.
I mean, that's that would be funny.
Yeah, there you go. I don't want the prequel. I want the sequel. I want to see like Vinny Chase with a bad back.
You know, like, right. Oh, God. You know,
Turtles doing Pilates.
Drama's
now,
stressing because he's turning 53. Like, you know,
it's funny. We do Victory the Podcast. We'll go back and we'll cover like an episode. But it's episodes that we haven't seen we don't even know what's happening. I'm like, maybe we should watch it before we watch it. So it's like a complete, I'm like, it's so far away, but it's funny to watch Doug Allen. Like he's like crawling under the table. He's like so uncomfortable. I'm like, Doug, there's nobody here. It's just me and you and Dylan. Like, it's all right. Relax.
But yeah, but that
like,
woke mom is ready to jump.
He's just under the table. And he's like, look, I just, you know, I'm like, he's like, I just wouldn't say, I was 32 at the time. I don't speak like that anymore. You
speaking
know what
of
I mean?
Birthdays, speaking of age, it's celebrity birthday segment. We always do it to close out the show. Jane Lynch celebrating a birthday today. Ever cross paths with Jane Lynch? Very
here
funny
there.
Woman here in Hollywood. Yeah, I love Jane Lynch. Who else we got? Brockman?
Conor McGregor, a UFC champion.
Something tells me you've been to some of those fights.
I've been to at the Khabib fight.
Yeah, there you go. He loves the fights.
34, Conor McGregor. Well, what's next
for him?
He's
still got a lot in the tank.
Jackie Earl Haley's birthday today.
Kelly Leak.
Still trying to cash that big check.
Yeah, Kelly Leak. Who else
Freddie
we
Cooper.
Got? Tommy Mottola, former Sony boss. Let's see.
Oh, Matthew Fox.
Yeah, Matthew Fox is 50,
to steal a line
56.
From to steal a line from Knocked Up. You know what's interesting about Matthew Fox? Absolutely nothing. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry, Matthew. It's a funny line.
Cheap shot.
That was on two of
from the
biggest
movie.
Shows.
It's a Seth Rogen line from the movie. I didn't say.
But Conor McGregor, I like that one.
Yeah, it's a what does that guy do with his life? Like after he fights, like where does he find that edge? Be very curious.
Right, that adrenaline.
Going
how's
to Whole
that?
Foods. Like, it's got to be tough.
Goes to the Gucci store.
Conor McGregor's going to start bullfighting because that's the only place he's going to get that type of
Matador
rush.
McGregor?
Yeah, Matador.
Like to see that.
Well, he'll just
saw Josh Norman jump over a bull in
Pamplona.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. And he came on the show and talked about it, and they gave him a great nickname, and he had a great time with it.
One of my oldest family friends is the biggest Matador in Spain, Francisco Rivera Ordóñez. And as a kid, he used to write letters to the Chicago Bulls asking for Michael Jordan jerseys, and they sent him one. He got a Michael Jordan jersey. He's the biggest Matador Matador in Spain, and it's in his trophy room with all the 500 bull heads and all the ears and everything, and he's got his Michael Jordan jersey right there with all of his bulls.
What a great family tree you got going on there, bro. One guy blew up the bridge and the river quad.
Yeah. Man.
Vincent Pastore is 76. Big
yes, yeah. Vincent you know Pastore. Big yeah, first job in television. I drove him through a car wash on Santa Monica Boulevard.
This guy's got more acting credits than I
do. Vincent Pastore. I like that guy.
Hey, Kevin, you were talking about, or I'm sorry, Chris, were you done with the birthdays?
I mean, there's a few more.
Oh, my bad. No, please keep going.
Right. Revis Island, you got Darrell Revis?
Darrell Revis' birthday today. Scott Porter, QB1.
QB1. Clear heart.
QB1. Rosie Grier, famed Ram. It's 90 today also.
Wow.
Also, ironically that Kevin is here, Nancy Olsen from a movie you might know, Sunset Boulevard. And, sort of like Queens Boulevard. It's 94.
Queens Boulevard. Oh, it's
stretch Queens. What do you got over there, TJ?
He's saying you like old stuff, I guess.
You were
talking about movies that you were wanting to show your daughter, and you know, just kind of going back through IMDb, you know, Rocky V was your first credit we have on there. What do you remember about working with Sly on that movie?
Sly was, he was, you know, and he still is. Like, it's hard not to love Stallone, like what he's done with his career, but... That was a big deal at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, when I first got that, like that was one of the best feelings of all time.
Do you remember Rocky V premiere night? Like going with your family?
I do. And it was in the big premiere was in Philadelphia, and I remember because like Barkley and Mahorn were there. You know, so it was all like it was a big giant. I mean, it was incredible. It's 89, 90 that was.
Yeah,
Tommy Morrison, of course, was you know undefeated. And literally, he was just like off to the races, and that's kind of a terrible story how that played itself out. But it was a great work experience, that's for sure.
It's fun when you go back and you look at the moments and things you've been a part of, or you touch, or you know, the chance to get to work with Stallone. That in itself is amazing, but in a Rocky movie,
yeah. But just being part of the franchise, I mean, obviously Rocky V is like the least, you know, I don't know, what do you call it, right? No, they don't love it. People don't love Rocky V. It's all right, but, you know, John Avildsen, who directed the first one, won the Oscar for Rocky I. Mm. And originally, he was supposed to die at the end of Rocky V. And at the last minute, the studio came in. It's like, By the way, the studio made a great call because they probably made $8 billion since then.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you get the Creed spinoff, and you get Rocky Balboa movie, the
crazy.
Whole thing. No.
So,
does it offend you when people say, like, Rocky V doesn't count?
Oh, it takes a lot more to offend me.
The residual checks that he gets counts.
No. That's far from. I've heard worse.
Trust me, like I've tried to pull every shot at this guy over the years.
He keeps going back to Angus. He keeps going back to Angus.
You know, I'm talking about voicing over Best Buy commercials. Like we could really get there.
The greatest game.
The 81-point game. I mean, that's enough.
The 81-point game. That should be enough for me to.
I never knew that story. That's a great.
I just thought you'd appreciate it because you know Ben obviously. Knows movies very, very, very well. So I thought you'd appreciate. I didn't think you'd have a direct connection to the bridge, but I knew you'd appreciate me going to see a print of Bridge of the Bridge on the River.
No, your affinity for old cinema and your love for classic Hollywood. I think
like Sunset Boulevard, Queens Boulevard. It's the same, right?
No, it's great. When you go to Action Park, and you got old movie posters up there.
Old movie posters.
You
know? Yours is up there.
And Ben. Oh, good. I'm glad to see it didn't end up on eBay. Yes, I have like an original Italian. North by Northwest. Donated to the folks at Action Park, and
it's on
glad
the
to see it's still in there.
And Ben, Kevin, you mentioned something about, you know, like not remembering a certain episode, and I think that's really funny because, as you know, a lot of my friends are actors, so I watch their work, and like Entourage, for instance, you know my backstory. That was kind of like a way for me to tell my friends at home, this is kind of what my life's like. So I put on the episode of Entourage, I can give you every line of every episode, but I realized that, you know, with my friends, I'll bring up something, and they will look at me. Like, for instance, I was talking to Mila about a 70s show episode, and she stared at me. She's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
Because you guys do so many episodes, and you obviously you're not as married to them as a fan of the project.
Right.
Whereas I've watched an episode 30 times. You may have, you know, you shot it, you read the script, and then you moved on. So you actors don't really have, I guess, that connection somewhat that the fan does, right?
Well, and it's different because, you know, Entourage is serialized, right? So... we'll finish an episode, and there's the three of us, the guy that wrote and created it, and two of the stars of it going like, what happens next episode? Does anybody know? And we're all like, we don't know what the what happens in the next episode in terms of the storyline.
Vince gets the movie or he doesn't get the movie.
Yeah, yeah, something like that, pretty much, out. Right? Right.
You're either toasting it'll work the out, movie though. Or when he doesn't get
it'll
the movie.
It'll work out. Yeah,
he didn't get the movie.
It's going to work out. It's going to work
when
out.
When I'm at
don't
a table
it.
With my friends, and like everybody just cheers at dinner, I just cheers and go, Vince got the movie. And everyone goes, Vince got the movie.
Of course he did.
That's a fun group. Good stuff, dude. Well, listen, I appreciate you spending some time. You have any big NFL predictions for your Miami Dolphins? I know you're a big Dolphin guy.
Well, last time we were here, we talked about it. And is it line on still 9? Vegas has them at
Vegas has they're ahead of the Patriots for division bets too.
It's last time I was here, it was 9 wins. I think it's way over 9 wins.
I think they win
11,
Dolphin
12
fan
games.
Has got Riesling flowing through his veins. He's just
so
pumping
excited.
His chest out.
I mean, you don't think they made some major upgrades?
They definitely made some major upgrades, but a team going 10-7 or 11-6 for them?
I think they won 11
crew.
Games.
Yeah,
they won 9 games last year.
Yeah, it's still 9.
I like it.
Wow, that's a bet.
Yeah.
If you're listening, that's
now,
a bet.
Do you go and sit in the stands and paint your face orange, or do you go sit and live in the Fly Guy Club when you go
no,
to
I don't. I don't. By the way, I don't go. None of the above. None of the above. I don't do any of that.
No.
No, the best thing about football, I mean, obviously I went to a few games for the Rams run. It's always nice to be there, but the truth of the matter is the coverage is so good on television with the cameras. It's almost like it's better to watch
and
it.
Post up and
right,
do the whole day.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But I remember I was at the Giants, the Tyree catch.
Oh.
And, you know, going like, did he catch it? Right on TV.
Right, right,
he was
right.
82.
Del Tufo, he was at the Tyree catch.
I was right.
No, I was there too.
Yeah, everybody was there too.
It's just like you're there and there's just so much going on. It's like, I think he caught it, but you're at home. You're immediately watching replays.
It was crazy.
I blacked out. What happened in that game?
I blacked out. You lost time.
I appreciate you spending some time. Shout out to everybody who came on the special Friends of Ben show. We'll do it again tomorrow in for Rich Eisen here on YouTube, SiriusXM, Peacock, Westwood One, Odyssey. We're probably playing somewhere in space right now, but we'll do it again tomorrow. Hope you join us.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.